reviewing the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Good Monday morning to you, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Daniel Topp, and of course, Stefania Bell, recapping most of week four with still two games, not one, but still two games left to be played. Hopefully your fantasy fortunes are solid after the weekend.
And let me just say, on the phrase that two games left to be played. Just before we went on the air, I believe you and Adam Schefter reporting that the Patriots plane is on its way to Kansas City. Another round of negative tests.
Yep.
Obviously, Cam Newton still quarantining, but the rest of the Patriots on their way to Arrowhead Stadium.
The rest of the Patriots, besides Cam Newton and also Sonny Michel, not there with the Patriots.
Correct.
He has been downgraded to out for this game. We mentioned that yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, so hopefully you made plans yesterday if you were trying to use Sonny Michel in your lineup after his 117 yards last week. The other side of this includes some news as well, Stefania. What do we know about the Chiefs? Because they, and this slid under the radar, but they had a practice squad quarterback who did test positive as well over the weekend.
Right, and Diana Rossini reported this morning that there were no new positives for Kansas City, which is obviously very good. But I would point out, to your point, the positive that they had turned out to be a false positive. So we are less surprised that there were subsequent negative tests for Kansas City, but still all good news for that game moving forward. And just a note on the Titans as well, no new positives this morning. The league said they wanted to see a couple of consecutive days of no new positive tests. Remember, the last time that they could transmit was Monday, because since then they've been under strict protocols to stay home, stay isolated. So the league was hoping to see a couple of consecutive negative days of testing before allowing them to reopen their facility. This is a good step towards that maybe happening within the next couple of days.
And of course, opening the facility would open up the possibility of them playing in week five. They are scheduled to play against the Buffalo Bills in Tennessee. One more piece of news, and this one comes directly from the man himself. For those that are getting ready for Monday Night Football, note that the second game has been pushed back to 8:50 Eastern time. It's Packers and Falcons. Devontae Adams will not be out there, according to Devontae Adams. Adams took to Twitter and said, although he feels great, apparently other people know his body better than he does himself, and he will not be playing tonight. A conservative approach from a team that has often been conservative medically. No Devontae Adams tonight. The Packers go into a week five bye, so by the time they get back in week six, logic would suggest he plays for the Packers.
Yeah. But what a frustrating, it's been a frustrating start to the season for those of us who drafted Devontae Adams. I have him in multiple leagues. And so obviously started out red hot, but it's been tough going here for the last couple of weeks.
Week one looked awesome. Week one was the best wide receiver in fantasy. We'll have more Monday Night Football thoughts to conclude the show. But we do want to look at Sunday's games, and we have a ton, unfortunately, of injury updates once again. Here's the good news for Cleveland. They're 3-1, but as we turn back to Stefania here, they do have a major injury on offense, or at least a major name on offense, that left the game. Do you have any information on Nick Chubb?
Yes, Nick Chubb left with a right knee injury. He was rolled up on by a defender. Now he's scheduled to undergo an MRI today. The good news, this is not the same knee that he had surgically repaired when he was at Georgia. So that's potentially encouraging. And the Browns are hopeful, but they remain anxious until he has that MRI. I do want to talk a little bit about Kareem Hunt, though, because he was the one we were concerned about going into Sunday's game, coming off a groin injury. Only had one day of practice, but we said he looked pretty good and they expected to use him. I don't think they expected to use him as much as they did, but if you watch the game, what you saw was very reassuring in terms of his health. He looked explosive. He made several sharp cuts. And so one of the benefits of seeing more Kareem Hunt was that we got a chance to feel good about his health.
And part of the Kareem Hunt being injured last week with the groin, although playing, but also the Nick Chubb injury fallout, was that D'Ernest Johnson was going to end up playing for the Browns more than any of us thought he would. D'Ernest Johnson, who at one point was playing in the AAF.
Yeah, he was.
A guy who at one point, I believe, was fishing for mahi-mahi as a job, as I understand, according to the internet, at one point in his life. He had 95 rushing yards on Sunday. So as we continue to get updates on Nick Chubb, don't be surprised if we're having conversations about D'Ernest Johnson and, of course, about Kareem Hunt being maybe one of the best five running backs in fantasy.
By the way, D'Ernest Johnson was really good in the AAF.
Yeah.
So I played an AAF fantasy football league, so I was well aware. I It's been 2 years, but I want to say Dearness Johnson was a member of the San Diego Fleet.
I believe the Orlando team.
Was he the Orlando Apollos?
I believe he was
an
Orlando
Apollo. Orlando Apollos?
Yes, I believe so.
Spurrier's Orlando Apollos?
No, they were a wagon.
The AAA.
They were a wagon. All right.
They were amazing.
Another injury update here, Stefania, is Austin Eckler, who you knew it was going to be tough the moment you saw it. The Chargers running back grabbed his hamstring, and it seemed like there was going to be a very small chance of him returning at that point.
This is one of those where the actual mechanism of injury really makes you nervous when you see it happen. So Austin Eckler was running and just kind of jackknifed, and that meaning like his hip, he bent forward from his trunk over his hip and he was trying to keep his balance. And at the same time, he takes a blow to his lower leg, hyperextending his knee. Why does that matter? Because your hamstring goes across your hip and your knee. So you're basically stretching it from both ends. And at some point, it's going to fail because it's going to run out of room. So we did see him grab that hamstring, but also his knee potentially injured. So Adam Schefter had tweeted last night that he had the hyperextended knee and a hamstring injury. These can be two separate or a combination injury. He'll have more evaluation today, but he's expected to miss multiple weeks on crutches and in a brace after the game. Definitely an unfortunate turn of events for Austin Eckler.
No question. One of our favorite players here on the podcast. We're going to get into this Chargers backfield a ton. The early look is, you know, Josh Kelly is going to be a huge part of this backfield going forward. But don't forget that Justin Jackson also got a bit of run yesterday. He did not have a great day, but I think as we get into waivers, Justin Jackson will be a name that will be a popular pickup this week because, unlike Nick Chubb, we at least know for sure right now that Austin Eckler is going to miss some period of time. Stefania, normally I'm fairly buttoned up on what happened with these players on Sunday. I don't know what is bothering Kenyon Drake. I just know that he left the game. Do you know what's bothering Kenyon Drake?
I saw it happen, and he took a hard hit, and he stayed on the field, didn't get up right away. You know, looked uncomfortable, was kind of wincing. You weren't sure if he got the wind knocked out of him or what exactly happened, but had some folks come over to him. Eventually, he did get up off the field and go off under his own power. Cliff Kingsbury later said, classified as a chest injury, said they don't believe that it's anything serious, but obviously he'll get further evaluation today.
Okay, so Matthew, we've seen Chase Edmonds before. If something happens with Kenyon Drake missing time, all the way up for Chase Edmonds.
I mean, he's a good player. Chase Edmonds is a starting running back on a lot of NFL teams, and honestly, it's one of the reasons why we were a bit, just as a show, we were lower on Kenyon Drake, I think, than consensus coming into the year. We were concerned that his workload last year had been short, but his level of elite play had only been like three or four games. Kenyon Drake, we're talking about. We talked about that stretch run. And by the way, Chase Edmonds, really, really good. Remember this about Chase Edmonds, right? He had 15 fantasy points on just 9 touches. Like, I mean, you know, this is a guy that, like, can be explosive. We've seen it before.
Yeah, he had a huge game last year when he was starting running back for the Cardinals. It was a one-game sample size. Kenyon Drake, how about this?
Against the Giants.
Yes.
Yeah, against the Giants.
But still, those count.
The Cardinals' Twitter account told us to start.
Five catches for Kenyon Drake through 4 games. I understand he got banged up yesterday, but that was late in the game. 5 catches so far for Kenyon Drake.
Here's what I would say. If we get more news between now and, you know,
tomorrow
and tomorrow night, about that Kenyon Drake is going to miss any amount of time, even if it's a week. To me, Chase Edmonds should be the number one guy on your waiver column.
He is the number one guy on the waiver column, which has been mostly written and will be submitted soon. Stefania, rarely when you have an Achilles injury, is it anything other than something that could be damning? And it seems that's the case with O.J. Howard.
I know. Finally, we get O.J. Howard in the end zone, and then O.J. Howard tears his Achilles and done for the season. Bruce Arians essentially said that's what they anticipate. These are the type of injury that when you know, you know. You see it, there are tests they can do right away, and then the MRI is just the detail of it. But if he said he's likely done for the season, then he is. And, of course, Mike Evans also had an injury in this game, injured his ankle, left for a while, did return. But if you watch that game, you could tell he was not 100%. He was often trying to hop off that ankle. It just wasn't himself. But with Chris Godwin out with a hamstring injury and likely to miss next week as well, Mike Evans just trying to gut through it.
The Bucs wide receivers have been super banged up. Tom Brady seems okay, though. He only had 5 touchdown passes yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, only 5. I probably could have had 6. No big deal. But Brady, defying age, like only Tom Brady can. By the way, if you're thinking
touchdown for every decade he's been alive.
He is remarkable.
Wow.
If you're thinking, like, maybe Gronk.
What did you say, Secret Squirrel?
I said, wow. Didn't he have 5 touchdowns? Is he 50?
He's 43, but 0 to 10, 11 to 20, 21 to 30.
You're right. That's okay. The way it works. What about the one that he threw to the other team that was a touch? Does that count or no?
One for every decade of Matthew's life.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, hey!
You know what?
Boom! We got there!
You know what? I want to pull a Cartman here. You know what? Screw you guys. I'm out of here.
Good. Okay. If you're thinking to yourself, maybe this is the door that Gronk can run through now, I hope I'm wrong, but Gronk still looks cooked to me. 9 catches through 4 games.
I think Cameron Brate is a pickup this week.
Maybe. I don't know if I can trust either of them. I just 9 catches for Gronk. Cameron Brate did score yesterday. I could be wrong here, but there are other tight ends, specifically one we'll talk about tomorrow, that I think have a better value on the waiver wire.
I look forward to hearing about that.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be lit.
I can't imagine.
Let's get into some running backs and some breakdowns of running backs that either performed well yesterday or perhaps did not meet expectations. And we begin with our Geico good news of the day. His name is Joe Mixon. Matthew, Joe Mixon coming into week 4 was like he felt due. But this was more than due yesterday. He was the best running back in the league. Yes, he was tremendous. He had 3 total touchdowns yesterday. Good for 42.1 fantasy points. That's right, more fantasy points in week 4 than he had in the first 3 weeks. Is this a sign of things to come, or is this just sort of like market correcting for the first 3 weeks that were average? Like, does it just sort of reinforce he could be a top 10 running back?
Yeah, look, he's super talented. Like, just from a pure NFL standpoint, we know how talented he is. And by the way, you hear the 3 touchdowns. Like, those were 3 touchdowns with capital T's. I mean, so these weren't like gimmies, you know, from the 2-yard line that he just sort of fell into the end zone. You know, it was a 34-yard rushing touchdown, a 23-yard rushing touchdown, and then he caught a swing pass for 9 yards and made a nice move on that one as well. So, I mean, these were like just breakaway games, and he looked like the guy that was a first-round pick this year. So I think it's somewhat market correcting. I think it is them committing to the run. There's also a nice matchup here.
Yeah, it was.
The concern for me on Mixon going forward is just that, so at Baltimore, at Indy, home to Cleveland, home to Tennessee, like
fair.
3 of the next 4 are run defense you don't feel great about. Now, I think he is a set it and forget it, you don't think about it, but do I think through the first 8 weeks of the season, is this the best game that he's going to have? Obvious.
Maybe a sell high is what you're saying after week 4.
Potentially.
I don't want to always just say, like, one guy has a good game, you sell high. But, you know, if for some reason the opportunity presents itself, you're not necessarily against it.
I will say this just in general. I'm a believer in the Bengals offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a believer in Joe Burrow.
Yep.
I'm a believer in the fact that this is an offense that's going to have to continually try to score points because their defense is going to help them out.
Yeah.
And I think AJ Green is welcome to Dumpsville.
Oh, we'll talk about that at some point, don't you?
I understand.
Worry.
But so my point is that if we think this offense is ascending, and then we're like, okay, well, who touches the ball in this ascending offense? Like, it's going to be Tyler Boyd. It's going to be some T. Higgins and Drew Sample. It's going to be Joe Mixon. He's going to touch the ball a lot. So it's a tough schedule coming up. So I just want to, you know, sort of give people a heads up about that. But this was
a quick one for you here.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to go through 10 different hypotheticals, but only because we've talked about them. Given the information we have right now on Nick Chubb, which is very little, if I offered you Joe Mixon for Kareem Hunt, take it?
You'd offer me Joe Mixon for Kareem Hunt.
Yep, you'd give me Kareem Hunt. You'd give away Kareem Hunt, and you'd acquire Joe Mixon. You take it in or no?
Yes. I take that deal.
So you're saying you prefer Joe Mixon to Kareem Hunt with the information we have now?
The information we have right now. Yeah. If Nick Chubb's out for the year, then it's Kareem Hunt.
It's not close, obviously.
Right, of course.
It's not close, but it's clearly.
But it doesn't seem like the injury is serious. And I will say this very quickly, that even when Nick Chubb is out, like the Dearness Johnson stuff last, that was not by mistake. Some of it was obviously Kareem Hunt came into the game banged up. But the other piece of it here, Field, is that this is how that team wants to operate. They want to be run heavy. They want to use multiple backs. That's how Stefanski wants to run the offense. So I think Hunt becomes the Chubb and Dearness Johnson becomes Kareem Hunt in the offense moving forward, however long Nick Chubb is out. But the idea that he's going to get 90% of the running back touches, I think, is not correct.
So I don't think I can go as far as Mike Davis having weekly value when Christian McCaffrey returns. But I also think there's a chance that Mike Davis could wind up being the most valuable in-season waiver addition for 2020. It's very early, and I know that I am basically counting on insane injury luck that probably realistically won't happen. But 2 straight weeks, he's been awesome. He had 84 rushing yards yesterday, plus a touchdown, 5 catches on 6 targets for 27 yards, 22.1 fantasy points, and as many very hilariously pointed out yesterday, I understand they were tongue-in-cheek, Panthers now 2-0 with him as a starter, 0-2 with CMC as a starter.
Right.
There's no way, though, Matthew, that when CMC returns, maybe other than like a week
job,
or two.
Did he just get Wally Pipp?
That part. No,
is
I was
Mike
say,
Davis the Justin Herbert
I was say
of
that,
the
like,
Panthers running back situation?
Like, I think it's possible that if CMC were to return after just 3 games missed, I think it's possible that the first game or two back that they spell him a little bit, right? A little bit.
Sure.
But I just can't envision a world in which Mike Davis sustains value if Christian McCaffrey is back and healthy and has no setbacks.
It would be an incredibly poor use of resources by the Carolina Panthers if Christian McCaffrey.
I would agree.
$16 million a year. I mean, $16 million a year for a part-time running back is not a particularly good use of resources. I have a question for you, though.
Okay, and Daniel's one for both of us.
I think there are a lot of leagues out there where the person who has Christian McCaffrey doesn't have Mike Davis.
Right.
You know, so if you had Mike Davis on your team, are you trading a – so I'm in a league. I'll give you an example. I'm in a league where I have Mike Davis. I don't have Christian McCaffrey, so I managed to get him off of waivers. We use a FAB system. I have bid the person who has McCaffrey in the league. I have – in that league, I have Dalvin Cook. I have Chris Carson. I have Raheem Mostert. So I have pretty good running back depth. I've been using Mike Davis, obviously, this whole time. Yeah. If you were me, would you trade Chris Carson to the guy with Christian McCaffrey and say, you know what? I'm going to give you a usable – you know,
Chris
healthy
Carson
piece
now.
Right now, and I'll take CMC for the next 2 weeks, you know, because I've got Mike Davis, and then I've got the Carolina Panthers running back, and we think that position is more valuable than Chris Carson, even though obviously Carson was awesome yesterday.
I love Chris Carson, but
I do.
I'm definitely doing that deal.
Right.
Christian McCaffrey was struggling to begin the season, and he had like 45 fantasy points in 2 games.
Yeah, I know.
He was struggling. Just a reminder. That's struggle bus.
Right, that's
30 fantasy points a game last year. Daniel, what do you got?
So I think about it from the other side. Like, I can't imagine if I've waited this long, Christian McCaffrey, I'm not going to move him now. Maybe when the injury first happened, but I do want to know.
You're sitting there at 1-3, you might.
Maybe. Yeah, and that's fair. I'm just not 1-3 in any leagues. I understand why you're in that predicament, though, man. So one of the things that I'm wondering is, if I have Mike Davis, like, is this the spot where, like, if you're saying there's no value once CMC comes back, do I trade him to either the CMC manager or get out of the Mike Davis business and figure it out for a week, knowing I'm going to get a piece that will be a season-long usable value than just what we have for the next maybe week or two?
Yeah, I think so. It's weird because, like, I'm actually, like, kind of inspired by the Mike Davis story.
That's
only
great.
Because I think it's really cool. He's a really talented player, a guy who was cut last year by the Bears. Like, think they could use him right now? You think?
Maybe. It's so weird because everything else Ryan Pace has done has worked out great. So whatever, one misfire, what are you going to do?
But I'm happy for Mike Davis, like legitimately a good player and a guy who has exceeded expectations, you know, after many counted him out mid-season last year. So on the one hand, but so just from a fantasy strategy perspective, Daniel, I think that's a fair question to ask. Like, it's possible we have 1 week left of Mike Davis. It's possible we have 2 or 3 weeks left of Mike Davis. Right. But I don't think it's possible that we have 12 weeks left of Mike Davis. So if you can trade Mike Davis for a weekly starter or a weekly flex, I think that's a reasonable deal to make right now.
I think it depends on your situation too, though. And it also depends on what you're getting back. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we're speaking generally though, like a weekly starter, I think would be a good return right now.
But here, okay. So like, what if you have Mike Davis?
Yeah.
You don't have McCaffrey. I offer you Todd Gurley. You doing that deal?
See,
I'm not.
Maybe. I probably would.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think Todd Gurley is so uninspiring. Like, I think he's in a committee with Brian Hill, and I'm worried that that's going the wrong direction
for
Todd Gurley. But my point is like, I think that's the level of guy you're going to get for 2 weeks of Mike Davis.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, I mean, you're because the reverse of what you were saying there, Daniel, is that, like, so somebody that has McCaffrey has figured it out, right, in theory. Right. And if they haven't figured it out, they probably don't have a piece to trade for Mike Davis. I mean, like, they, you know, whoever.
Sure. That's fair.
Right. So the question, unless it's a wide receiver, if they have some depth in another position and they need a running back.
Yeah.
But they probably don't have a solution for you at running back to replace Mike Davis.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, every situation. I think it's a situation worth exploring to your point there, Daniel. I just don't know that you may get the. You just may not get the return. And as we've seen, like, by the way, just because, let's say Christian McCaffrey comes back in 2 weeks. That doesn't mean he's staying healthy the entire year.
That,
I mean, like,
that's part
Mike
of
Davis
it.
Has proven himself to be one of the top five most valuable, you know,
insurance
pieces of
policies.
Insurance.
Yeah.
in fantasy. Like, he's, you know, right now he's more valuable than Alexander Mattison, more valuable than Tony Pollard, more valuable than Latavius Murray. Like, I know, even though Murray had 2 touchdowns yesterday, like, right? I mean, like, he's right up there. I had him ranked 10th coming into this week.
Right.
And we were too low on him.
I would rather have a player that I know that is going to play through week 16 than someone that maybe hasn't. But again, that depends on where you're at right now. Am I 3-0 or am I 1-2 or am I, you know, 3, you know?
And the other thing is that I would say is this year more than anything, and this is the last thought and we can move on. But this year more than anything, you don't know that he's playing the entire year.
You're right. You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Right. 24 hours ago, we thought Austin Ekeler was playing the rest of the year. 24 hours ago, we thought Nick Chubb was playing the rest of the year. Like, this year, more than any other year, like, I don't mean to be flippant about this.
No.
Like, things are uncertain. Things are more uncertain in fantasy football in the real world, too, as well, obviously. But things are more uncertain this year than ever before in the history of fantasy football. So the idea that we can sit here and say, you want to trade Mike Davis for somebody that's going to play the rest of the year? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I just...
Who knows?
I get the theory.
Slogan for 2020.
I get the theory. I get the theory, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's that cut and dried.
All right, so we got to keep it rolling here. Let's move to Ronald Jones, who, without Leonard Fournette yesterday, got 20 rushes, 111 yards, plus 6 catches for 17 yards, nearly 19 fantasy points for Rojo. Pretty good right there. Keyshawn Vaughn found the end zone, had 2 catches yesterday. Small sample size. I want to ask Stefania, though. I just want to make sure that I'm accurate here. If I remember correctly, yesterday, Jeff Darlington on Fantasy Football Now suggested that Chris Godwin probably not going to play Thursday night. The Bucs play Thursday against the Bears, but Leonard Fournette has a chance.
That's exactly. And Bruce Arians said as much yesterday, that he essentially confirmed that Fournette has a potential opportunity to play on Thursday night, but he thought it unlikely that Chris Godwin would be out there.
Important context, and we'll discuss more about the fill-in wide receivers.
I have a thought. So Ronald Jones was somebody we talked up quite a bit on Fantasy Football Now. I believe the stat that I gave was that in games in which he's gotten at least 15 touches, he averages over 16 fantasy points per game. He got over 15 touches. He got over 16 fantasy points in this game. He played really well. Fantasy-wise, he played really well. He put up numbers. He dropped like 5 passes in this game. I thought he looked bad. I thought the counting stats were fine. Like, if you look at the box score, but just from watching the game, like, I didn't feel like, whoa, Leonard Fournette just lost his job.
Right.
Like, is Leonard Fournette a buy low after the big game from Ronald Jones? Is he somebody you might go out and acquire?
Yeah. So I'm going to say buying low, I'm interested in at all times. But it better be low because I can't trust this backfield 1 week to the next, right? We just can't do it. And I just don't know that I can say with certainty that even if you bought low on Leonard Fournette and he has one good game, it's going to sustain week over week. I think that, and this is not a pot shot, it's a truth. I think that Bruce Arians is going to be fickle with this backfield week to week going forward. Only in situations like yesterday, when one or the other is out, Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette, will I feel implicitly confident that that other player is usable for the week, right? Leonard Fournette's out, I'm good with Rojo. Rojo's out, I'm good with Leonard Fournette. Otherwise, I want to play those players with a serious amount of caution in my lineup every week.
I agree with that, by the way, and I just wanted to bring that up because I think Ronald Jones, kind of a sell high. Like, I would call the person that has Austin Ekeler in your league. I would call the guy that has... or the person, I should say. I would call the person that has Austin Ekeler or Nick Chubb in your league, or that might be running back needy, and say, like, what do you give me for Ronald Jones?
Yeah, sure.
I'd take 75 cents on the dollar for Ronald Jones.
Good thought there. A player that I would not be selling high on right now is Antonio Gibson, who seems to be trending in all the right directions right now for the Washington football team. They do not do much well offensively, but
they
do have a rising star in Antonio Gibson, who 46 rushing yards to the touchdown, plus 4 catches for 82 yards, good for 22.8 fantasy points, nearly as many fantasy points as he had in his first 3 weeks combined, Matthew. That was good stuff.
It was good stuff. And once again, for the second straight week, he converts a short touchdown, which is, I think, encouraging. Like, we know about the pass-catching ability, but the people that were anti-Antonio Gibson in the preseason and that were yelling at me that, oh, you're just being a homer, but was that he didn't have a lot of carries as a running back in college, and that they didn't think he was going to be big enough to be a running back between the tackles significantly, and that he might get pulled to the goal line. Well, that's not the case. I mean, again, like, 17 total touches. Like, is he a Adrian Peterson type workhorse? He's not, but like 17 touches in PPR, Antonio Gibson's a starter.
Yeah,
Antonio Gibson's a top 20 guy the rest of the year, especially because, by the way, Washington is often going to be in negative game script, which means they're going to be throwing, and he's the pass-catching running back they like the most. They have J.D. McKissick as well, but Antonio Gibson's the future there in Washington, and they're going to feature him. And as the season goes on, he's going to get more and more work. You love the fact that he turned 17 touches into that kind of a game against the Ravens.
You mentioned that he converted a short one. It did come a play after Peyton Barber got one run from the one-yard line and failed to convert it. So what I hope that means is that Peyton Barber has a short leash, and then from there, like, maybe that leash turns into no leash. Maybe it's just like J.D. McKissick is the guy that you have. It's not J.D. McKissick, excuse me. That Antonio Gibson is the goal line back on top of being the receiving back and on top of being the workhorse back. Hard for me to envision like a top 10 type weekly play out of that offense just because they're not great. But as they explore
a top 20 guy.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. He's a top 20 guy. He was running back 5 on the week as we head into Monday Night Football. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah, no question about
that. That's impressive. And he's how many leagues has he rostered in?
Basically 100%.
Oh, is he 100%?
I mean, it's close. Okay. It's he's definitely well above
the threshold.
Yes, well above the threshold. All right, before we get to more running backs, a few words from friends.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geicoween.
Wow.
Listen to my evil laugh.
Good job, Daniel.
October is Geico's favorite time of year, and Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the other thing you may not know about Geico. They also help you uncover more ways to save on other things parked in your driveway, like your beloved motorcycle, Matthew, or field your boat out on Nantucket, or even your home away from home.
A yacht, Daniel.
Your RV.
It's not a yacht.
Stefania. Stefania maybe has an RV here.
Right. Stefania does not have an RV.
You might have a motorcycle, though.
Yeah,
Geico could even help you save on your homeowners and renters insurance. So visit geico.com today, and you'll see firsthand that switching your insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that will haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much money you saved if you had switched sooner.
Do you think Geico, does Geico offer insurance policies for mansions? Because otherwise, Stefania might need to make a call.
Of course they do.
Yeah, there you go.
Stefania in about 15
minutes.
It's
not a mansion, it's a chateau.
It's a chateau.
Chateau, but yeah, I mean, it's like, it's massive. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's Chateau de Cone.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car or chateau insurance. Happy Geicoween, everyone.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home or chateau in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. There's HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring, all controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in security. ADT expert installers average 10 plus years of experience. We want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why we provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. All right, let's zip through some of these backfields. A lot of these were more splits than they were one man being the bell cow. And in Baltimore, I suppose good news is that Mark Ingram got you 10-plus fantasy points. But it wasn't much more than that, Matthew. 8 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown. You said this over email last night, and I don't want to – let me make sure I get it correct. Baltimore backfield's unusable in fantasy?
Unusable in fantasy.
Yeah. Too many good players, and plus Lamar Jackson.
That's exactly right. I mean, the Ravens running backs were on my hate list coming into the week, and I said, listen, one of these, we talked about this on Fantasy Football Now as well. I said, look, like one of these guys will fall into the end zone, but the idea that you're going to know who it is, I think, is incorrect. Mark Ingram was the guy that ended up falling in the end zone, 10 fantasy points. I mean, by the way, Mark Ingram played 14 snaps. J.K. Dobbins played 19. Gus Edwards played 22. In a game in which because here's the thing about fantasy. It's not just about the production. It's about getting that production. And what I mean by that field is that it's not enough to have the player on your team. You have to know when to start that player. right? Because otherwise you're just guessing. And so you in a game that coming into Washington, where I believe the Ravens were like two touchdown favorites.
Two touchdowns, yeah.
They were two touchdown favorites. Like if ever there was a game to start Mark Ingram, this was the game. And he got you 10 points. And he, you know, and only because he was lucky enough to be the one that was on the field when they fell into the end zone. Like, honestly, like, and so J.K. Dobbins, I was all in on J.K. Dobbins as one of the, you know, guys you want in the preseason. And I do think eventually J.K. Dobbins will be the guy. I think he's the most talented player in that backfield.
Yeah.
And hopefully he emerges at some point.
I'm not so sure he does, though.
Maybe not, as long as Ingram's
because
healthy.
If it was just two guys, then yes. But, like, Gus Edwards is a thing for them. Gus Edwards is just a fall forward, no-nonsense runner. I feel the same way about this Rams backfield, Matthew.
And so, anyway, I would even go so far as to say this, Field. Because we're talking about all these guys you got to pick up. Well, when you pick somebody, you got to drop somebody. If you need roster space, I have no problem in a redraft league, like a 10 or 12 team redraft league, dropping any of the Ravens running backs, especially Mark Ingram. Like, I just, when are you going to start him?
I don't know.
Right? I mean,
he's a bench player right now.
Right? I mean, Daniel and I do a thing on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus where we called Welcome to Dumpsville Population U, which is after the old Simpsons joke. And Mark Ingram's Welcome to Dumpsville. Right? I mean, like, if you need the roster space, when are you going to start this guy?
Not anytime soon. I mean, not right now, that's for sure. Yeah. Perhaps sometime soon. It would have to be probably an injury to one of the other two players that gets you back into having Mark Ingram or J.K. Dobbins in your lineup weekly. Hey, just quickly to note, we said off the top that Devontae Adams broke his own news saying he was not going to play tonight, and he put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's deleted the tweet. I'm mentioning that only because I have no idea whether that means the team asked him, hey, you know, take it down. Not a great look when you kind of say, like, you're good to go, but we don't, you know, our medical staff is saying you're not good to go.
You're throwing out.
Or if it's like, hey, maybe there's a hope and a prayer. Maybe he sort of, you know, he lights a fire under him and says, like, I want to play. And they start reading the mentions. They're like, all right, maybe we'll give him a shot. I just know that Chapin is less than thrilled because he was the last player in her lineup and she has nobody on the bench available because they've all played. Not going to drop Devontae Adams, you know? So, tough
one. Let me, if I may, just address Chapin real quickly here, because I understand. Listen, Chapin, it is unfortunate that the love of your life is not a fantasy expert. Mm. So that's the problem. Like, it feels like my wife wouldn't have made that mistake because she just would have turned to me and I would have told her, like, hey, you need somebody on your bench that you can go. And by the way, put Devontae Adams in your flex.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate that your husband hasn't really played fantasy before and can't really help you out.
You know what? Here's a reality. What's that? Chapin probably could take the easy way out in this league and turn to me and ask me to draft her team, help her out weekly.
Right.
And because she has integrity, because she is a firm believer in having an equal playing field in her league, I don't give her advice. This is her own team.
I text with her weekly.
I know.
No, it has nothing to do.
Her roster is so good. There was nobody that could be dropped. Her bench is so stacked that she had nobody that she could drop this week.
Listen, I will tell you, all jokes aside, I will just say this, knowing your wife, and I obviously don't know her super well, but I would just say that Chapin Yates, former Division I athlete, is as competitive as they come. She is hardcore, I have no doubt about anything.
Her team's good. I mean, they're back-to-back champs, so you know they're pretty good. All right, let's get to the couple more backfield splits here, the Rams. And I was saying this, Matthew.
But this is why, by the way, just real quickly, I think this is a teaching moment here. Just, we talk about this all the time in terms of roster construction, and we talked about this on Sunday as well. Like, you should have had the Chiefs and Patriots players. You should have had Devontae Adams. You should have had Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, who they are going to play, Julio and Calvin, but you should have had them in your flex spot. Again, always give yourself as many outs as possible, right? And so that, like, if you do have Devontae Adams, like, unfortunately, like, you may not have anyone that you can drop, like, but in theory, like, hopefully you would have had somebody that you could have dropped to then pick up and grabbed MVS or Rex Burkhead or Robert Tonyan or Brian Hill, guys that are available more than 50% of ESPN leagues.
All right, let's get to the Rams running backs because I kind of feel the same way about them that you do about the Ravens. It's not quite as bad because we've seen bright moments from Darrell Henderson, but Darrell Henderson looks great after Malcolm Brown looks great in week one. Malcolm Brown still playing more than 50% of the snaps. As a matter of fact, yesterday, 35-22 was the snap advantage that Malcolm Brown had over Darrell Henderson and kind of a grinded out win for the Rams. I mean, ultimately with these backfields, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles Rams, Baltimore, like if you're just guessing, Matthew, that's no good in fantasy. That's no good at all.
It isn't, and this one's a super weird one because, I mean, again, Henderson.
Plus, Cam Akers,
hang on, but I actually disagree. I disagree with you that this backfield is not usable. I understand the unpredictable nature of it. But look, I used Henderson last week. That worked out. I used Henderson 2 weeks ago. That also worked out. Like, so the idea here is, and Henderson came within like half a yard of getting into the end zone, and then they did a sweep to Gerald Everett, and he converted that touchdown. So I think if Henderson gets in on that play, his day looks different. It was a bad day for the Rams offense entirely. Right. Yeah. It was a bad day for the Rams offense entirely. And one of the theories I heard was, and I haven't gone back, had a chance to watch the tape on this and dig into this, but one theory I heard was that the Giants were actually blitzing quite a bit and more than they expected. And they trust Malcolm Brown more in pass protection. So that's why he was out there more than Daryl Henderson. And, you know, Daryl Henderson just had a little bit of trouble getting going yesterday. Well, no one, by the way, it's not like Malcolm Brown ran away with a job. The whole Rams offense looked terrible yesterday.
But what if that's a formula for the Rams? You got to blitz him.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right, because teams are going to say, hey, a bad Giants defense neutralized them yesterday, and if the key is to blitz them, and that's what Malcolm Brown does better than Daryl Henderson, well, then maybe Malcolm Brown will keep playing. Again, it's not as bad as the Ravens, like I said, right. But I'm going to have a hard time trusting them. Beyond that, so we've been introducing the idea of Dumpsville. David Montgomery yesterday, 10 carries for 27 yards. He had 3 catches for 30 yards, so he had 10.7 fantasy points, Matthew. But we've been trying to make this happen for 20 games now. Welcome to Dumpsville for David Montgomery.
Here's what's weird. Because I can't, in good conscience, especially this year, more than ever, recommend getting rid of a starting running back that gets the kind of volume that David Montgomery does. Having said that, I can't imagine a week where you ever feel comfortable starting him. Like, it's, you know, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen. Stop trying to make David Montgomery happen. It's not going to happen. I'm with you. Like, how many opportunities does the guy get before you don't...
This goes back to the idea you don't play for third place in your league, right?
Right.
Like, is David Montgomery, if your team is really, really good because you drafted Alvin Kamara early and you have DeAndre Hopkins or something like that as well, and those are your two stars and Dak Prescott, your quarterback, well, maybe you're fine with David Montgomery. I don't think David Montgomery is going to be a popular player on championship winning teams. We got a ton of wide receivers to overview yesterday.
So here's their upcoming schedule. Tampa Bay on Thursday this week. You don't love that matchup. At Carolina next week, you do like that one. You do like that one, although the
a little bit
Chargers,
they've been tougher of late.
Yeah, So you do like the Cardinals, although Kenyon Drake didn't do much, but whatever. Then they're at the Rams, not a great matchup. Home to New Orleans, so that's the next four. I think you can run on the Saints. I think they're a little bit overrated, but like it's not like a matchup where you're. That's not like a upcoming schedule where you're like, oh, I can't get rid of David Montgomery yet.
But he's been volume-dependent, matchup-dependent for 20 games, and he still hasn't been good. So, yes, again, I think there are opportunities.
Jordan Howard, right? I mean, isn't he just Jordan Howard?
No, Jordan Howard scores touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jordan Howard just scores touchdowns. That's the difference there. All right, let's get to a bunch of wide receivers here.
But listen, if you want to bail on David Montgomery, you have my blessing. I get it. I'm not recommending you dump him, but I'm also, if you end up getting rid of him, I'm not sitting there going like, "What were you doing?"
I don't think you're totally going to rue the day.
You're not going to rue the day. I am with you there, Field.
All right, so let's rip through wide receivers. We have a ton of them, and yesterday was a great day for the Browns offense in many ways, including that Odell Beckham Jr. had an Odell Beckham Jr. type game. 5 catches, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, plus 73 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown on a beautiful reverse. It was 51 yards, I believe, in total for that. He's back. Or is he back, Matthew? But keep in mind that one of those touchdowns was a 43-yard score from Jarvis Landry.
Right.
That's right. Jarvis Landry, his best friend on the team and a wide receiver, of course. Is Odell Beckham Jr. back? Is this a – are you looking to move on from Odell? I know I keep saying, like, should we be selling high? But what's the strategy here with Odell? Buying it and staying happy and staying content? Or is this the outlier in his season?
Can it be both?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's both, which is – here's to say – I think this is likely his best game of the year.
Maybe, yeah.
Possibly. I mean, he got the touchdown pass from Jarvis Landry. Like, he's not going to have a 50-yard rushing touchdown, you know, many weeks.
Yeah, 38.3 points. 32.5. Right, yeah. I'm sorry, 38.4 points yesterday. Yeah.
The Browns want to run the ball. It's still a run-first team. But it's still going to be a run-first team. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., just on a pure skill set, is one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. He is a guy that anytime he touches the ball has the opportunity to take it to the house. That's going to happen. We saw that 3 times on Sunday against the Cowboys. We're going to see it again. So I guess my question is, OBJ is back? I'm not 100% there yet because I don't think that offense is built that way. But am I selling high? Not necessarily because everyone's available for the right price. I don't know that what you're going to get in return for OBJ, given that he's been bad for a year and a couple of games, is going to be worth what he potentially could do for your team the rest of the way. So does that make sense?
I think so. That Browns want to be run heavy. You also said during the conversation earlier about Kareem Hunt, like, hey, and the backfield, is that like they're about to play some teams that they're going to have to throw it against, right? I mean, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, for example, their next two matchups. So it could be that they have some game script that's favorable to throwing the football more going forward. And the numbers haven't been there, but Baker Mayfield's playing much better football so far this season.
That is true.
Jarvis Landry was good yesterday as well. I said it was a 43-yard touchdown pass. It was a 37-yard touchdown pass from Jarvis Landry, who also had 5 catches for 48 yards. Encouraging for those of us that use him as a wide receiver 2 or a wide receiver 3, depending on how deep your league is, but still not a robust amount of volume yet for Jarvis Landry.
See, I would think, like, to me, Jarvis Landry is one of those guys that I think, like, if you need it, like, are you excited about Jarvis Landry starting him any week?
Well, he's so productive for them, like on a snap-by-snap basis. Like big blocks, we don't care about big blocks in fantasy, but like,
so
I don't
through
know,
the first three
I
weeks, he was wide receiver
59.
Better
as the season goes on. Yeah, okay.
He was barely a top 60 wide receiver through the first 3 weeks. He's not even, he's wide receiver, as we head into Monday night, he's wide receiver 21. And that's with a 37-yard touchdown pass.
No, I get it.
Which is not going to be something that, you know, is a weekly part of his game. Yes, Daniel?
Just really quickly to settle this and move on, if you could choose between right now waiver wire, understanding, take roster construction out of it, Jarvis Landry and Mark Ingram, two guys that we have both talked about in this conversation, would you rather have Juice the rest of the season or Mark Ingram?
Landry. I'd rather have
Landry. Yeah, I'd rather have Landry.
Would you rather have Darrell Henderson or Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry.
I'd rather have Henderson. Yeah, Henderson has upside that Landry does not.
What about David Montgomery? David Montgomery or Jarvis Landry?
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry. Yeah. Anyone, I mean,
you know, I just have
the interesting conversation is Mark Ingram versus Dave Montgomery, and I think I might actually go Ingram. Because I think there's a chance Ingram scores more touchdowns.
That's probably fair. Let's keep it moving, though, with these wide receivers. Right. Adam Thielen had a bounce-back day yesterday, which is good, right? I mean, he was wide receiver 14 through 3 weeks. Yesterday, he had 8 catches on 10 targets for 114 yards and a touchdown. To me, that's not the story, though. The story is that Justin Jefferson has been unlocked. Last week, he was wide receiver 2, 7 catches, 175 yards and a touchdown. Yesterday, 4 more catches for 103 yards. No touchdowns, but great to see that he had back-to-back 100-plus yard receiving games. This seems to be some scratching of the surface potential here for Justin Jefferson. We can keep him in the lineup going forward.
Yeah, another guy that we talked about on Fantasy Football Now. This is somebody that Mike Clay brought up as a nice DFS play, so props to Mike there. Good call. And what's interesting here is that it feels like last year, and by that I mean, remember last year with the Vikings and Stephon Diggs was complaining about not getting the ball and they were so run heavy and then, you know, we're just like, what's going on? And then eventually, like, it sort of course corrected itself. And then eventually, like, Kirk Cousins, that passing offense, and some weeks it was Thielen, some weeks it was Diggs, and a few weeks there it was both of them. But after the first couple of weeks last year, the Vikings offense become much more balanced and feels like that's what's happened. You know, they were bad and very one-dimensional early on in the season, but the last couple of games, they've opened it up. They've let Kirk Cousins throw. They've done what they do well, right, is run Dalvin Cook, set up play action, and use Thielen and now Justin Jefferson. So is Justin Jefferson very viable going forward? Absolutely. Like, I mean, we talked about this in the preseason field, and you answered this question more than once, which is, which rookie wide receiver do you feel best about coming into the season? And Justin Jefferson was always your answer.
Yeah, he was, and I think that we've realized it over these past 2 weeks, and hopefully it continues going forward. The Vikings cannot stop anybody on defense still, so that's not going to help them have these run-first and run-always offensive game scripts. DJ Chark came into week 4 questionable. Stefania, he looked fine to me. Any signs of a chest limiting him yesterday? It doesn't seem like it was much of an issue at all.
No, every time I looked up at the TV, he was in the end zone. And this is a guy who started the week wearing a non-contact jersey in practice. And that's part of why we were so nervous about him after he missed week 3. He still wasn't allowed to do much. And we did say on Sunday on Fantasy Football Now that Doug Marrone had said he felt comfortable with DJ Chark playing. So we knew that they had confidence after Friday's practice, but this sort of cemented it for us that he was not limited in any way. He was frequently targeted, and he looked like the DJ Chark that we used to love in fantasy football.
Yeah, and I think importantly, as you just mentioned, defining the targets, because the concern through 2 weeks was that he had 7 total targets.
Yeah.
He had 9 targets yesterday. Now, it was a very pass-heavy game for Jacksonville, but good to see him getting into the end zone twice and plenty
that
of options.
The first touchdown, by the way, was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it was.
A toe-tapping control at the back of the end zone. And by the way, Gardner Minshew, over 20 fantasy points. Like, having DJ Shark makes Gardner Minshew a viable QB1 streamer as long as he's out there, because they are going to be a negative game script and they are going to be throwing quite a bit. So Shark definitely helps that offense, not only for himself, obviously, but for Gardner Minshew as well.
I said this at the end of the preseason, that I don't think any player that changed teams and got a good contract generated less buzz for due to no fault of his own than Robbie Anderson. Signed a 2-year, $20 million contract with the Panthers, and it looks like one of the better deals of the offseason. He had 8 catches for 99 yards yesterday for the Carolina Panthers. He's now up to 377 yards in just 4 games. He's averaging 7 catches per game. And he looks to me like unquestionably the best Carolina Panthers wide receiver for fantasy, and it doesn't feel particularly close right now, Matthew.
No, I mean, look, DJ Moore is somebody that you should definitely be worried about here and concerned, because this was the game for DJ Moore to get right, and he didn't. I mean, so Robbie Anderson has been nothing short of terrific, and what's interesting about Anderson is that Anderson, I think, rightly or wrongly, had a reputation as merely a deep ball guy. Like, this is somebody that's just going to, like, he's a deep threat. Like, you're going to chuck it to him 2 or 3 times a game deep, and hopefully he comes down with one, right? But no, they've been using him in all sorts of different routes, reunited with his old college coach. Matt Rhule coached him when he was at Temple. And so Robbie Anderson has been nothing short of a revelation for the Panthers and for fantasy managers who drafted him late in their drafts. And so I think I'm 100% with you that he's the Panthers wide receiver you want. I'm also like, DJ Moore makes me nervous.
Unquestionably makes me nervous. I don't think that he can be dropped as of yet. Curtis Samuel certainly can. That would never happen this year with the Carolina Panthers. But DJ Moore has not returned on value. All right, the Cowboys.
Yeah, and by the way, if somebody's willing to give you, you know, market value for DJ Moore that still thinks DJ Moore is a top 20 wide receiver, I would do that. Because listen, I get it. I get it in terms of the routes, runs, and the targets, and the number of snaps played. Like all the underlying metrics say he should be crushing. But he's not. And at some point, you just got to be like, yeah, maybe he's the number 2 guy. Maybe he's the number 3 pass catcher on his own team, because the running back obviously is the guy that gets a ton of targets, whether it's Mike Davis or CMC on the Panthers.
Dak Prescott threw for 503 yards yesterday. That's not a typo, not a misspeak. He has now thrown for more yards through 4 games than any player in the first 4 weeks of the NFL season in its league's history. CeeDee Lamb feels like he could be trending towards something special here, Matthew. We knew he was really good. I mean, the guy was 17th pick overall, and he was drafted about 10 slots too late this year. But is he now a must-start, and is Michael Gallup now nothing more than a bench stash for you in Dallas?
Yeah.
That was
it's unfortunate. Like, well, because listen, I was
so sad.
I'll tell you why I'm so sad. Because I have a ton of shares of Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup was one of my big preseason sleepers. I couldn't have been more in on Michael Gallup this season. And so far, other than one game, it hasn't returned, right? I mean, you haven't returned the value. One of my arguments for Michael Gallup was he was going too late. Maybe he was going appropriately. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, like, that's a call that I wish I could have back at the moment, right? You know, it just hasn't worked out. CeeDee Lamb has been everything and more as advertised. He's nothing short of fantastic. And I believe Dak Prescott is currently on pace to throw for 8 billion yards.
It's close.
It's
very
unreal
close.
How bad that defense is and how good Dak is playing. Like, he's, you know, that has worked out. And so CeeDee Lamb, yes, is a must-start going forward. I'm not ready to get rid of Michael Gallup. That offense is too explosive. We've seen it before with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. That offense is good enough to support 3 fantasy-relevant wide receivers. I do think better days are ahead for Michael Gallup. Part of the problem is that they're targeting him deep downfield. So he's not getting sort of the short, easy ones. And I do think as CeeDee Lamb becomes more and more of a thing, defenses will key on him, and that will open some stuff up for Gallup. But yes, it is hard to trust Michael Gallup in your lineups at the moment.
Right.
It's much easier to trust CeeDee Lamb.
He's an insurance policy now. That's what I think he is.
Yeah.
Because he's an elite one at that, because if something happened to CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper, then he would be the number 2 wide receiver in a very, very pass-heavy offense. But
I will say, Giants, Cardinals,
Washington,
Philadelphia. The next 4 weeks.
Matthew.
I know.
Dak Prescott's thrown for 1,600 yards. I don't care about the matchup. If he can't do it when he throws for 500 yards, I don't care
he
who's
had,
playing.
He had under 30, he had under 30 yards, and under, you know, whatever. He throws 500 and Gallup's under 30. It's awful. Yeah. I mean, it's shocking to me because, by the way, I think Michael Gallup's a talented player.
Of course he is. He had 1,000 yards last year, but this was, you know, part of my fade in the preseason was that a lot of that was saturated into a couple of weeks, and that CeeDee Lamb is the real deal and the exceptional.
He was better than Amari Cooper over the second half of last year. Like, it wasn't a couple of games. It was the entire second half of last year. Like,
right,
more targets, more yards, more receptions, more routes run. Like, I mean, every metric. But for whatever reason, this year it just hasn't been there for Michael Gallup except for week three.
Right, we're gonna,
Did Dak get paid this offseason?
No, you know something, Daniel? I need to check with some sources, but I don't believe that. I think
that might get tough.
Dak, no. Everybody else got paid, though? Oh, they paid everybody else.
Everybody else, but
everyone else.
Got
but
it. Okay.
Dak.
Good to know, Daniel. Very astute point by you.
But they're 1-3.
I know. But imagine they would be -4-8 if they didn't have Dak.
Yeah. They should be 0-4.
Yes.
Like, they should have lost to the Falcons as well. Yeah. But look, it's interesting. I mean, like, whatever. The Texans paid it. I mean, your tweet was really, really smart. You know, the tweet that you did about the Texans yesterday. Like, I don't know if you want to repeat that, but like,
they're spending $255 million on their roster this year. It's the most in the NFL, and they currently own their first and second round pick to the Dolphins. So they're 0-4. It's tough. I mean, those are just facts, too, right? That's just straight up shade.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's not shade. That's what I'm saying. It's not shade. It's literally the truth. And so it's interesting. Like, you know, Deshaun Watson's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're 0-4.
We got to move, and we're going to come back in just a moment and maybe discuss a couple of dumpsville options and also some players maybe piqued our interest from yesterday. But first, a couple more words here. Daniel, first from you.
You know, now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for the high-quality, top-tier gasoline. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives that keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy and removing those ugly deposit buildups and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal that you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. Start saving today. This offer is only valid at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way.
All right, I'm going to make this very simple here, Matthew, because we are tight on time. Four names amongst wide receivers, and I know you would love to give us a lot, but I'm only going to ask you for a little here. Welcome to Dumpsville. Yes or no? AJ Green, who had one catch for 3 yards yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, in a big way. He was wide receiver 93 so far for the week. T.Y. Hilton had a great game yesterday. Well, relative to the first 3 weeks, he had 3 catches for 29 yards. Welcome to Dumpsville. Yes or no?
Yes.
Agreed there. Marvin Jones, 1 catch for 9 yards. He has less than 8 fantasy points per game so far this season. Welcome to Dumpsville. Yes or no?
Since they're on a bye next week, if you need the roster spice, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm not actively trying to dump him. Their schedule gets easier afterwards because after the bye, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Indy. So you certainly like the Jags and Falcons game, but not usable next week. And so if you need the space, I get it.
Okay. Brandon Cooks, who had 0 catches yesterday.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dumpsville. Jeez, that one.
Awful.
Don't want to get too much into the move, but I would love to see Brandon Cooks get things going. I don't know how he has not gotten it going so far for the Texans. All right.
0 catches.
0 catches.
3 targets.
Let's update here on Monday Night Football because we have a big night again. So, Patriots Chiefs, 7:05 Eastern time. Game is being played at Arrowhead. Ding. Sonny Michel will not play. Yeah, a little gentle touch. Sonny Michel is out for this game for the Patriots. I expect Damian Harris to be activated. Matthew, and I understand that you probably already made the decision because it's Monday night, but are you comfortable playing Julian Edelman tonight with no Cam Newton, but instead Brian Hoyer under center?
Comfortable is a strong word. I don't know that
it's
I would
like
feel
trust,
comfortable,
yeah.
like trust. I don't know that I would feel comfortable, but yeah, I probably am. That passing offense still runs through Julian Edelman. Listen, he's got a tough matchup here with Honey Badger against, you know, on the Chiefs, who's going to be on him most of the night here. But Hoyer, like, again, his career numbers better in the slot than they are outside the numbers, tradition, which is, by the way, the case with most quarterbacks. Right. But certainly, look, Hoyer and Edelman know each other. Like, if I had to start a pass catcher that wasn't James White in this game, Edelman would be the guy.
Okay, so Stefania, a bunch of injuries in that Falcons and Packers game. We've been telling you throughout the show about how Davante Adams maybe declared himself out and then not. But it's not just him. What do we expect from Davante Adams plus Julio Jones plus Russell Gage plus, of course, Calvin Ridley, the best wide receiver in fantasy so far this season?
Right, so let's start with the Falcons. Russell Gage off the injury report. He's going to play. Julio dealing with a hamstring, expected to play. Calvin Ridley dealing with an ankle, expected to play. I would just point out that Julio on Friday said, when asked if he was ready to go, it's a soft tissue issue. I feel good right now. I've been running well at practice, but it's just, you know, I'm not 100%. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. He's a guy who knows his body. I expect him to play, but he's acknowledging he's not 100%. Davante Adams earlier said he wasn't 100% last week, but was working to get there, announced this morning that he wasn't going to play on Twitter because the decision basically was left to others. That tweet has since been deleted, as you pointed out. I would definitely double-check Davante Adams' status before kickoff.
Yeah, inactives will be due at 7:20 for that game, with kickoff now at 8:50 Eastern time. Of course, that game is being played on ESPN. Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick, joining Steve Levy on the call. One more word from you, Daniel, before we do a little game of trivia, if possible.
Yeah. If you're missing out the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations both big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. And guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration all year round, you can't help but enjoy yourself with enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or maybe a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab Ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you get your groceries.
A couple of minutes here left. I don't know if we have trivia today, Daniel?
We do. Kyle Soppy.
There you go. Kyle, what do you got for us?
I got you covered. Since 2018, there have been five quarterbacks that have had at least four games with 30 fantasy points, but without having 30 rushing yards. Two of them play tonight. I want you to name the other three.
Hold on. There's okay. Seven stats there that we've got to
I know. That's how it works.
It is. It's like go. It's a beautiful okay. Mind is what it is. You ever see that with all the, that is you know, like
I'll read it one more time. There are five quarterbacks.
Five quarterbacks with at least four games of 30 points, but not 30 rushing yards in that game since 2018. Two of them play tonight in Patrick Mahomes and Matt Ryan. I want you to see how many you can name of the other three.
Oh, boy.
So you have three guesses. Whoever gets the most right gets the point here.
Do I have to wait till they write theirs down?
Yeah, because they would cheat off of you. Yeah, no, okay. They'd take your answers.
I've got two.
I've got all three of them, guys. Don't worry about it.
Dude, okay.
You are a wizard, my friend.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wizard, Harry. All right, we got 2 minutes here. This is really hard. Yeah.
We need, like, Jeopardy music.
I was going to say, we really do. Anybody want to step in here? I am blanking on the
Stefania,
name.
Why don't you go ahead and go first here?
Well, I've got two. I'm only at Philip Rivers is one.
Oh. Hey, I'm going no.
Tom Brady?
Nope.
Okay, I think Brady. Brady's
okay,
correct.
All right, that's for Stefania.
I'm still working on my third one.
Okay, I'll go here. I've got Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, and Ben Roethlisberger. Probably two out of three possibly correct, but I'm thinking
I'm
one.
I'm mad at myself because Ben's such a good guess.
Yeah, that's
but
a good
so
one, Ben.
But here are mine.
Oh, you can't have four.
There's four, so I guessed four.
There's four.
You get three guesses. What
Russell
part
Wilson
of that did
without
you not understand?
Fitzmagic and Brady. Those are my guesses.
Yeah, Fitzmagic is a great one. You cross off one.
You have to cross off
one of them, Matthew. Pick one and cross it off. Pick one. Just do it.
Crosses off.
Cross off Brady.
Good cross off by Brady. I think he's correct. How many did we get? Kyle, go.
Matthew Berry wins with one. Drew Brees was the right answer that he got. Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, and Jameis Winston.
Wow.
Was the hard one to get.
Oh, my
well
gosh,
done.
Jameis.
Kyle's impossible trivia questions never cease to amaze. We are back on Tuesday to recap two games from Monday night, plus talking waivers and all the updates on the injuries. We hope good news for all the players. For Matthew, Daniel, Stefania, I'm Field. Talk to you guys then.
Good luck tonight. We'll see you later. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.